And hour three begins, as it does each and every week. By the way, this is the final hour of the show for the next couple of weeks. We're going to take a little spring break, and we're going to be off for the next two Tuesdays.
Daytona, here I come.
But fear not. Yes, catch us on MTV.
Wet for t-shirt contest.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Does MTV still do that horrible I'm house sure they where do. They just like get all kinds of teenagers to make bad decisions on
camera?
Oh, I'm
sure they do. I don't know.
I don't even know where MTV is on my TV.
Like, I believe it's 29.
I don't know that it's a thing.
I think it's called The Bachelor.
I believe it's called 1,029 is the number for that.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've already been through the first 2 hours of the show. We had an unexpected visitor. Marnie's mom popped in, showed up, gave us some bread pudding and some half and half to enjoy it with. You can go back to hour two and re-listen to that whole thing.
Go watch us eat that.
We got two things with Kat coming up in just a little bit, but right now it's Al Perkins and nothing but Oscars.
There's a couple other things, but at the Oscars, surprisingly enough, keep drinking, there were many winners at the Academy Awards, but one of the biggest may be Adam Rippon, who got to meet his celebrity crush at an after party. If you can find the picture of his Adam Rippon's tuxedo. The U.S. Olympic figure skater who wore an S&M-inspired fashion to the show scored a picture with Shawn Mendes, writing on Twitter, "I planted the seed and I saw the harvest. He is cute, he is sweet, and the other guy is Shawn Mendes." So... he said he replaced Harry Styles as his number one celebrity crush.
I can spell this right. Oh, I found it.
And just how cute they were. But I was all excited because I forgot who Shawn Mendes was. I only know him from his appearance on like any music. Oh, if it's not on SNL, I don't know who they are. And he was on there, and I think I bought his song. He's a cute, big, tall boy with a great voice. Couple good songs. But I was hoping when I read the story... that it was Sally Field's son, Sam.
Because they were campaigning for that.
Yeah, because they were campaigning for that. So I just had to like read through it and look up who everybody was in the story. Yeah, so Doug thought it was too much. I thought it was, you know.
I think that's great.
Do your thing, man.
Yeah.
Let's just tie it back to what I was doing. And he has a picture of that up, the Sam from Manchester, England.
Yeah.
There's a picture of that up. That's funny. I didn't even pay attention to the fact that that was Adam Rippon.
Yeah.
No idea.
And there's the fact that he got to go to the Oscars, so good for him.
That's great.
So we'll go through a couple of the Razzie Awards and see if you've seen any of the movies. So worst actor was Tom Cruise for The Mummy. Worst picture was the Emoji movie, because why wouldn't it be? Worst actress, Tyler Perry, boo to a Madea Halloween.
Oh, no.
Just funny. And they always have some kind of fun with them. Like, they'll have, like, worst entire cast and stuff like that. Worst supporting actress for Kim Basinger for 50 Shades Darker. And... oh, here we go. Mel Gibson for Daddy's Home 2, which just looked awful in the previews. There's times where I'm like...
wait, Mel Gibson was in that?
Yes.
Yeah, he was one of their dads.
He played... Wahlberg?
Yeah.
He plays his dad. Because Will Ferrell's dad is Cleese. No, not John Cleese. From Third Rock from the Sun.
John Lithgow.
And so he comes down the elevator, and then they're waiting for the other one, and he's just... It's Mel Gibson.
And one of my favorite, worst screen combo, any two obnoxious emojis in the Emoji movies. First off, if you went to see something called the Emoji movie, isn't the joke on you?
Mm.
Like, I could see you stumble across it on cable. It comes across, you know what I mean? It's on the airplane.
You're hungover on a Monday.
Yeah, you just press the button on the airplane and you're like, all right, I guess I'm in. But leaving your house, getting the babysitter, buying the popcorn,
somewhere.
And sitting down at the Emoji movie.
Right, no.
No. Not a thing.
Exactly.
We already talked about that. Turns out I was just... oh, so, and then in All Gay All the Time news, Schitt's Creek got renewed for season five. We're very excited about that. And then I just have to tell you, if you have not, get caught up on this season. How are you finding... Schitt's Creek. What device?
Pop.com. And then I've had to use a valid cable subscription to log in.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so find a cable subscriber and steal their ID.
Right, because I think Pop made...
By the way, Q Talk America Kobe does not Bryant advocate the stealing of anybody's ID.
Kobe I didn't Bryant. Steal anything. No. Don't accuse. I didn't steal anything.
Even if it was
anything.
Given to you. I mean, I gave it mine to Barbara, but...
I used a valid cable subscription to log in. The end.
The end. The end.
Exactly.
The end. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that because Pop showed up on your cable, Pop, like, prior seasons, they were not a...
Part of the Cox package.
Like, part of that package. Yeah. They weren't available in the U.S. because I looked.
Now it comes up on FX for me.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's how I get it. Mm-hmm. It just comes up on the FX channel.
Cool.
I'm not trying to outdo you.
Oh, wait, no. Schitt's Creek is playing on the FX channel as well?
Yes.
Oh, that's good to know. That must
be... Because the DVR records the current season, but I had to get to the original three to get through it on Apple TV, on Netflix.
On Netflix.
But Pop is... they play that on FX.
Oh,
so
that's good.
You've got... You can just DVR it.
Oh, I do DVR because I have Pop.
I feel like there's an acquisition that happened there at some point.
Yes.
But anyway, when we first found this,
yes,
that was not an option because for season two, we all had to wait because there was no way to get to it. And unless you were like talented and patient enough to mask your IP to make it look like you're in Canada, like I was not able to get to their website in prior seasons.
Yeah.
They used to have it all blocked out unless you were Canadian. Because I distinctly remember asking in this room, like, how do we pretend that we're Canadian so that we could see more of this show?
A. Just say
no. Sure.
Al, this is what you've been trying to get me to find.
Boot?
Pick up a hammer and nail this coffin shut.
Because I had to go back. I just needed a little bit more. I was left a little empty.
Is it like that's the premiere season? That's the first episode.
I just needed a little bit more. I was so moved and touched by this week's episode. You can find the song that he sings.
I'm not there yet.
But it's on iTunes. Enjoy it. But you can find it on iTunes.
Cute.
It's called The Best. And it really was one of the... I like openly sobbed. It was like I was watching Hamilton. Like I was moved.
Oh my gosh.
Everyone thought I was laughing so hard I cried. Like they
got you.
Set it up as a joke. And then I went immediately to tears. I was like... Aww. Moved by Moira, moved by him, and now I found out for sure that Dan Levy is gay, so I gotta go. I'm moving to Ontario.
I agree with you. Let's go to Ontario.
Yeah.
Let's go find him.
I'm ready.
Today on the finale of the show, yeah. Clayton McKee.
They upped and moved.
Exactly. The finale show.
Pick up a hammer and nail this coffin shut.
I cannot express to you. And it's been so long since I watched that first. I've not watched it again.
I feel like I need to go back and watch all of them again because I, in the anticipation of enjoying the next one, I think I've lost things.
Yeah.
But oh my God.
And there's a reason why I got hooked right away. And it's because of that line in that episode. I forgot how she
and David's character. The way that
she screams that out to the room. So good.
The sweaters he wears are just too much.
They need Beverly from the Goldbergs to meet up with David and have them just compare sweaters.
That's funny.
So I need to go to IMDb. So from the Independent Spirit Awards, there were Get Out got Best Picture, got Best... I think I got Best Director, too, which was a lot of fun. But the surprise at the Oscars was... In the toughest category of the night, Best Original Screenplay, which is where you had your Lady Bird, you had your Shape of Water. That's where The Big Sick was all hiding. All these big movies were all original screenplays. So, you know, Oscar, who will win? And that Jordan Peele won for Get Out.
And that was a historic win, if I'm not mistaken. That was a historic win?
No.
I read that.
I don't think it was a historic win because the guy that wrote Moonlight won last year. So he wasn't the first.
No, but I believe there was something, she'll Google it. I'm sure I read that because while we were sitting in your living room, a pop-up came up on my phone and said something about a historic win because of him, but I didn't read further because obviously I don't want to spoil anything. We'll figure it out. Maybe I'm wrong, but I thought it was about him.
I'm not sure. I mean, because he wasn't... And the funny thing was Guillermo del Toro and P.T. Anderson and him, like, that whole thing about writing, directing, and producing a Best Picture, there were three this year that did that. Mm. And Greta Gerwig wrote and directed her. She just wasn't a producer. So that thing of being the person that writes, like, they couldn't make that big of a deal because they had two other people that had pulled off this feat.
It was Four Amazing Men and Greta Gerwig.
And Greta Gerwig, yeah. So
Entertainment Weekly calls it historic and then just has a big line of tweets of people excited about it. Doesn't tell me why it's historic.
Yeah, I don't know who told me that.
I mean, the only thing I think is maybe he's the...
First black writer ever to win this award.
Oh.
Oh, for original
screenplay. Best original screenplay, right.
Oh, now we gotta look up Moonlight. Look up Moonlight. I thought that Moonlight won... I don't think Moonlight was an adaptation. Oh, and I always sent it there. God damn it. I know.
Right.
Dear Google, Moonlight Wikipedia. Section awards.
Best adapted screenplay. So he would be the first one to win for best original screenplay.
Okay.
So the difference with Moonlight was an adaptation.
I'm glad to help give you knowledge.
Yeah.
I feel.
Because it's going to come up next year on the quiz. Right.
Uh-huh. Right.
It will.
It absolutely will.
We need this information.
Yep.
By the way, unless you're coming up with it, how did our tallies go?
I have not graded them yet.
Okay. All right.
I've either been unconscious or running. Those are my only two modes lately.
It's fine. It's fine.
So just to go through, because I thought I had these pages pulled up, and I did not.
Nobody got harmed.
Alphabetically. So just from the Indie Spirit Awards, I wanted to tell you about a couple of those, because there were some fun film independent Spirit Awards. So it did win Best Feature, Best Director. So that was a big deal that Get Out won those. First feature went to Ingrid Goes West, which I talked about last summer. It was a charming little weird movie. And then everyone else was pretty much the same people, except for Timothée Chalamet won for Call Me By Your Name. One of the problems with the Independent Spirit Awards is most of the movies that get nominated for Oscars in years where there's a low ratings, it's because it's independent movies that make it up. Mm. So there's all these movies like I, Tonya, Get Out that were made, because Blumhouse Productions, which we've talked about over and over again for years.
He kept screaming at me. He would jump forward from where he was sitting.
He hit me several times.
And yell into my ear.
Right here.
I've been talking about that for years.
Jason Blum, because he makes those movies for $3 and $5 million that are just making bank. And he produced Whiplash a couple years ago.
And you gave it to me.
People wonder why I don't come to this party. Being screamed at, you're being hit.
But it was so much fun.
It was charming.
Seating is crucial. Yeah. That's what you have to plan.
Timothée Chalamet won for Call Me By Your Name at the Spirit Awards. He was very charming. They'd made some jokes about his outfit. He made some jokes back. So it was very good. But in the Oscars for Best Screenplay Adaptation, it was James Ivory, who hates his movies and I love them. The Merchant Ivory movies from all those years ago. James Ivory wrote the adaptation of Call Me By Your Name and won his Oscar and did his tribute to love, gay, straight, or anywhere in between. So I did a little Googling 40 years after it was relevant and found out that Merchant Ivory, not only were they producer, director, they were a longtime romantic couple. Turns out they were together. So... in the early days, Merchant, the producer, Ismael Merchant, he was of Indian descent.
Okay.
And that's why so many of their movies, they went passage to India. They went to India.
Oh, okay.
And there was always those little bent to them. And then Ruth, I can't think of what her last name, but turns out she was German, even though her name sounded like it had Indian descent. So here they were making all these British movies, and none of them are British. Like, they're Indian, German, and American. James Ivory, I was expecting an accent. He's from fucking Oregon.
Oh.
So it was just a surprising twist. But I was so delighted to find out that they were a couple, and one of the reasons they made the wonderful movie Morris, which reads like Maurice, but you pronounce it Morris, was the first happy ending gay story ever, and they... wanted to make sure that they made that movie. They made it there as they were doing all these adaptations. So, I mean, Merchant Ivory films, A Room with a View, my absolute favorite, which I just watched in 30 Days of Oscar. One of the funniest, most delightful movies ever. I could never forgive myself. You always say that. And you always do forgive yourself, Violet. And I'm like, it's so bitchy. So we'll just go back. So there were very few surprises. And the whole night, if we've been following the awards circuit this whole year. There were no one. There was no names read out that any of us were, except for Jordan Peele for that screenplay. Mm-hmm. But it could have gone to all five. There really weren't many surprises. You knew that Allison Janney was going to win. Thank God for like such
I was
a fun performance.
To see that, yes.
Sam Rockwell, and I think people are going to start bitching as more people see that movie. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to come up to people of color that. Sure. So are you saying we should keep people on the police force that were racist assholes and harassed people of color because one day they might help a white lady? Like, it's such a tone-deaf...
Character.
Yeah. Well, and Anant asked who the basketball player was.
Oh, the basketball player was Kobe Bryant.
Right. Kobe Bryant.
Who wrote... he wrote a poem when he retired. Dear Basketball. Mm-hmm. He wrote a poem about retiring, and someone took the poem and made it into an animated short... That's now an Oscar winner. Yeah. So Brian is an Oscar winner. Well, and it's strange that he's at a Me Too moment. Like
exactly. Like, and people were, we mentioned it a little bit, but there were people that became a thing.
Yeah.
Oh, right? Yeah.
That, something I didn't know just from simply not paying attention. That
well, you're busy cleaning up my cupboards. you had work to do.
Tupperware.
I was very busy.
Organize the Tupperware.
I was very busy, but it does look delightful now. But that Gary Oldman apparently had domestic violence issues in the past. Don't know what they were. So I don't know if that's like a pushing it kind of thing.
And that's why they said that case, because Casey Affleck was accused by two different women last year. So they were saying how horrible it would be. And they're saying like the Adrian Brody thing with Halle Berry was, everybody's always kind of like looked at that as, is it charming or is it kind of gross?
Ryan Seacrest being on the red carpet. Yeah. After, I'm just saying, like after.
Right, but Ryan Seacrest isn't, unless he's on E, because.
He's on E.
Yeah, because, I mean, ABC had it down to the stars of ABC shows.
Yeah, no, it was, he's on E, and they were saying, well, why is he able to.
Right, but now we're in this time of, like, there has to be a little bit of due process. Like, there's got to be some.
Right.
Something going on, like, you can't just... Because now you just throw someone's name in the mix and all of a sudden they're
and
out of
they
work.
And they should be fired.
Yeah, and it's... If it's substantiated over a year, I don't know. There's no way to answer that. There's no way to go back and then have me come out as an okay person, so I'll just stop. The Shape of Water wins Best Picture in a surprising pro-bestiality, Where's the Fish's Penis movie.
I turned around and looked at Al and I went... There's a large fish in this? and he's like, yeah. And I go, you hadn't mentioned that.
Yeah, I don't understand why there's a shape of water. I didn't get that. But anyways, then immediately on Monday morning, somebody posted a side-by-side, shot-for-shot, of Splash and Shape of Water, how it's exactly the same movie.
Oh, interesting.
Shot-for-shot. Through the glass, touching. There's all these other
things.
There's
not the whole cuteness of teaching her how to speak.
No, I understand. Yeah. But it was interesting. It's like, oh, no, I never thought about that. But I haven't seen Splash in 25
there
years.
There are a lot of different ways to say have someone fall in love with the fish. I mean, I think you follow a certain path. You can only meander in a few different places.
It's
but it's
called
not
a lake.
Although I love Splash, and it's a fun movie. This one is more of a Cold War story. It's not about... teaching the fish how to live on Madison Avenue.
So it's a little more Mr. Limpet and a little less Splash.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's good. That's a good reference.
And I cannot remember that they do explain that you can't explain love because you can't explain the shape of water. Like, it's one of those things, like, there's that famous book that talking about love is like dancing to architecture. Like, you just can't explain love to someone. And I'm pretty sure that's what it was about. So Gary Oldman for The Darkest Hour, and clearly one of those, like, no one else was going to win. No one else was going to win. When you see that movie, you'll just be like, just give him the fucking out. There's, like, Charlize Theron in Monster, where you're like, just call off the ceremony. This show is over.
Yeah. You asked in the chat room, Anant, you asked why Jodie Foster was on crutches. She actually, though they joked about it, she actually took a fall while skiing earlier. Early in the year, so that's
and
why
you
she
really
was
do get a sense because they kept showing her backstage with actresses. She was backstage with J Law. What's her real name?
Jennifer Lawrence
and Helen Mirren and Jane Fonda. And she's like 7 inches shorter than I'll go. They were all in heels. She was in a boot, But it's just that line in The Accused, because I've been doing 30 Days of Oscar and watching all these movies.
That's what you kept saying, and I'm like, what? She's 5'3", Clayton.
According to Google, she's 5'3", which makes her your height.
I honestly don't think she is, because it comes up, and the whole through The Silence of the Lambs, which I now own again on a different version, the whole movie is people towering over her, staring at her.
I love that Jenny said the same thing. What the fuck? Come on.
And it's inspired by the Creature from the Black Lagoon is... The Creature from the is the inspiration for the movie, because he did. We talked about this.
Yeah.
The reason that he made the movie, because he didn't understand as a child why she didn't fall in love with the creature with the Black Lagoon. Right. Like, why were they trying to kill it and not her trying to fall in love with it?
Yeah.
So that was his reasoning of making this love story. So we won't go through all of them, but Guillermo del Toro, if you follow my Facebook. A couple years ago, I said after the second Mexican director that I love won that, come on, Guillermo del Toro.
Sure.
I was rooting for Christopher Nolan, but it was nice to see that win. We talked about Call Me By Your Name, one of the most beautiful movies. And I decided to not hit other people in the room and sat near the door and struck my door.
You did. And I'm surprised your neighbors did not call the police. Someone's locked in that house.
Yeah, trying to get out.
Yeah.
But I do have to say, when they did Best Original Song and he did Mystery of Love from Call Me By Your Name, I was doing the whole, I was like crying on the door. Like, that song is so beautiful. Loved it. So, Niagara Falls native and who went to my high school, the former LaSalle player. He went to the same, belonged to the same drama club as I did. Mark Bridges won an Oscar and a jet ski and a trip to beautiful Lake Havasu. Mark
with
Bridges.
Helen Mirren.
That was so funny.
That was fantastic.
Helen Mirren not included.
Helen Mirren not included.
But she was on there at the end, so that was a delight.
So I just want to make sure Coco won for best song, won for...
Oh my God, I cried when they won.
I came
home and watched the video and cried myself to sleep. Yeah. I love that song, I love that movie, I love everything about it. I just, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So, crazy. Remember when I had talked about Hamilton and how I hadn't listened, I hadn't, et cetera, because I didn't... People always blow things up.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, really? So I have done the same thing because of you two. God bless you. With the show, The Greatest Show on Earth.
Oh, The Greatest Showman.
Greatest Showman. So I've done the same thing because I'm just waiting, right? But when that woman...
Oh, just sang the shit out of that song.
And Kiala Settle.
Sang that song.
Mm-hmm.
Holy.
And when she got down did the dance and she did all the things. They went out in the audience. Oh yeah, that was. I was so
days, and I was just in all awe of her power.
Yes, and the best song performances, best original song performances were lovely. Mary J. Blige with the choir doing her song.
And the song you're speaking of from The Greatest Showman, when the camera's on stage and she does the turn and the camera falls around, she just starts crying in the middle of the song. I thought, wow.
Yeah.
There's so much emotion going on with the whole team on stage that's doing it and her realizing, I'm singing at the Oscars. It was quite a moment for that, too.
Yeah. Oh, her turnaround on that stage. I rewound that a few times.
I know we were there.
Yep.
No, I met yesterday.
Oh, again.
Oh,
oh yeah, because I had to watch it without all of you there so I could get all the feelings.
Because we were noisy.
No, we all were.
All were.
We all just hadn't seen each other in a while. There was just a lot of catching up to
you're
do.
You're absolutely
there
right.
There really
was. And it was lovely to have Buddy and Early join us. That was a perk.
Yeah, I would agree completely.
So Love Basketball was the short film, and then I have to find out, it's Incredible Woman, but I need to find out what category, A Fantastic Woman, Best Foreign Language Film, Una Mujer Fantástica, is the movie from Chile with the transgendered character.
Yes.
And then she was a presenter later.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that looks really, really good.
I agree.
Had seen previews at it at the Scottsdale Harkins, but had just not gotten around to seeing it.
Now, did Buddy say he had seen that or no?
No, none of us had seen the foreign language. Okay. And I think that one came out maybe in the summer, so it might be available somewhere to rent. But A Fantastic Woman... Terrific story for that one. So that was your Oscar recap. It was just of the movies, see Call Me By Your Name. I think it comes out on video this week or next week. Maybe next week.
They all seem to be doing this thing where they do digital and then discs a month later.
Yeah, because I, Tonya is available digitally right now. Okay. I would watch I, Tonya first. And then when you're ready for a good happy ending cry, watch Call Me By Your Name, and just be ready to sob uncontrollably.
Remember how Greatest Showman comes out on digital, no, not tomorrow, Friday.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm an idiot. What do you mean watch it on digital?
Like you can go to iTunes and buy the movie. Or you can Amazon. Go to
streaming, basically.
However you stream it. So Amazon will have it, right.
If that's what's hooked up
for money, but not for free.
Right, yeah.
Right. Okay.
It'll be like the $3.99, $4.99 for HD. Mm-hmm. Pay the... I know she brought us food, but make her pay you more.
It's all right. No, that's fine. She's not working, so we'll, you know.
And we've talked about all these movies ad nauseum for an entire year. But the one movie to avoid, though, that was terrible, and I rented it the other day, so it was the only acting one, Roman J. Israel Esquire. Miss that movie at all costs.
No, you said one other one.
Wasn't that the Denzel one?
You said one other one.
Oh, Phantom Thread.
Yeah.
Yeah, terrible. But great I have costumes. To admit, the costumes were gorgeous, and that score, So just ignore the dialogue, do something else, but enjoy the score and just come in and enjoy those gowns. Because
by the music.
But the movie made me want to hurt people. It was awful. Right. Awful.
Kobe Bryant was not charged, but he was
And I also noticed that during the Oscars he was the only person to win an award who also has a hamburger named after him that was at McDonald's.
Kobe beef?
There was a Kobe burger several years back.
What size was it? Because he's quite large.
Well, I don't recall. but they did a Kobe Bryant.
Super size.
They did a Kobe Bryant burger. Oh. I forget what exactly if it was called the Kobe burger. I don't know.
Oh, I didn't know.
But
that.
They did. Okay. Yeah, I thought of that. I thought of that when we were at the house. But I knew if I said it would just fall on deaf ears, so I didn't bring it up.
Kobe beef. So I mean. And like I said, it was just it's a fun night. It's a fun show. It's not for everybody. They don't dumb it down. That's what the People's Choice Awards are for.
And they were pairing people as presenters, wasn't it?
There was some that like they weren't nominated, but they were spoken of. But I mean, once you got Armie Hammer and Gal Gadot,
and forget it with Sandra
Jesus.
Bullock, because she is the cutest thing ever. And then she's like with the lighting. The lighting goes down. Did you see that at all? The lighting.
She's like, I need to be mid-40s. Let's bring the lights down.
Down.
She's like, 39, 38, 35. There's a sweet spot.
Yeah. Right. And she's like, and if Gal Gadot came up here, or Gal Gadot's looking up right now going, oh, it's like, me.
Looking in the mirror.
Like, looking in the mirror. Yes. And then,
she's great.
So I did forget the one thing because I was holding off till the end for that. So I didn't mention her. But Frances McDormand's speech, it got some backlash, as it always does, because conservatives hate everybody. Sure. If you get a chance... She did two things. Oh, and that's what this story is. Mm. So she thanked people, did what she had to do, and then she asked for every female nominee in every category, whether they were editors, writers, stand up. Everyone in the room, stand up. And like she said, now look around. Everybody in the room has a story to tell. Yep. She's like, not tonight at the after parties.
They all have ideas.
Yeah. But tomorrow or the next day... Yeah. Invite us into your office, or if it's more convenient, come to ours. And we're going to make some movies. And then she left them with the thought to have inclusion riders for diversity.
Yeah. Right.
And she said that
I have two words for you.
Inclusion riders. So Netflix responds. Netflix's Reed Hastings has no interest in inclusion riders for diversity. Netflix has no interest in taking up Oscar winner Frances McDormand's proposal to add inclusion riders in a contract to get cast and crews more diverse. We're not so big on doing everything through agreements, he said. We're trying to do things creatively. He would rather have his staff speak with the filmmakers about how many women and people of color are working on the project before shooting begins. That's how we look at it. Netflix now has 117 million subscribers and plays an increasingly influential role in Hollywood thanks to Deep Pockets, because one of the movies... Well, Mudbound was definitely Netflix, but somebody else surprised me and thanked that it was a Netflix production.
I
remember you talking about that.
Yeah, and I was surprised. I'm like, well, Netflix finally got their Oscar.
Right.
Because they were mad that Amazon won the first Oscars, and then Hulu won the first Emmy. So Netflix is kind of pissed off.
Icarus for Best Documentary Feature.
Oh, that was it. Yes, there you go. And that's the one about the doping scandal that the guy at Total Wine did for me. So, it's received kudos for the diversity of its actors, writers, and directors, and some of its sought-after series, such as Orange is the New Black and Marvel's Luke Cage. You're really kind of, I guess, and they just hired Shonda Rhimes. So I guess they're doing the right thing. But they have pay issues, because there's also boycotts about them not paying the same people enough. But they really do have kind of a diverse lineup if you want to see other things. And the Orange is the New Black is hiring every woman and woman of color and age working. I don't think there's an actress left that hasn't walked through at some point on there. So, but I'm really curious about the Icarus movie because that looks really good. It's the doping movie about the Russian Olympic athletes. Olympic athletes from Russia.
Yeah, I agree with Mama Dai. It was one of their best Oscars in a long time. I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it.
Tremendously. Yeah. I loved the changes.
The comedy that they did when they went to the other theater, which was just a train wreck when they went to across the street and gave them all snacks.
And they were shooting hot dogs.
Yeah, shooting hot dogs out of a big... It was fun.
It sounds dirty.
I know, right?
But it was enjoyable.
But it was like, was it last year?
The gorgeous.
They really were. I really, really did not like... Viola Davis.
The set that was behind her, they needed to color.
She had a hot pink neonish dress, and as Al pointed out, was going to be starring in the Diana Ross.
She looked like
her hair just everything really great. Looked like it, but looked just like Diana Ross. I mean, coming out,
we need
like,
that in the world, great. Sure.
But there was this red, burgundy kind of
And they had this glamorous set behind her that just. Made her look terrible. God. It really just
was
clashed
awful.
With the dress so hard. And then everyone else, I mean, there were people that there was a couple times where I gasped how beautiful. I'm like, I will accept any award.
What was her name again?
Eliza Gonzalez. Are you talking about
pink
the
dress? No, pink dress.
Oh,
pink
Viola Davis.
Viola Davis.
So, and she had horrible shoes on
because
she could barely walk.
On her ass.
She could barely walk to to the microphone, and then she tripped on her way out. Yeah. And the Spirit Awards used to be held on the beach on blankets in Santa Monica. Well, now it's become a big thing, and they have sponsors. So now it's in like some kind of a hangar on the beach.
Okay,
but it was still wet; like the tide still comes in. Okay. So that was fun to watch. That people were slipping all over the stage, and like Allison Janney won, and she's like. The train of my dress is wet. Like, I'm carrying a dish towel behind me. So that was kind of
That's
a fun
great.
Thing to watch. So.
Yeah, I thought it was so cute. And I thought the back and forth between, Tiffany Haddish.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
If I say that right.
So
and
funny.
Maya Rudolph was hysterical.
Yeah,
That is one that I would want to just keep rewinding.
Yeah,
they were very
I got
funny.
The Oscars down to like a 40-minute highlight reel when I watched it again. Except for the song from the...
Look, Meryl! Oh, I want you to be my mama.
And it was very nice when
Frances
McDormand had all the women in the audience stand up. And at first it was hesitation. She goes, Meryl, if you do it, they all will. So Meryl puts it. She's like, all right.
Yep,
like, because she didn't. I don't think she wanted to be the first person to stand up. Like, it's been 21
years. Here's Viola Davis at the in the dress with the big hair in the back.
It's Diana Ross. I mean, there's no getting around it.
And beautiful.
Yeah.
Except for if you see the background.
She's giving you all the Diana Ross there. Diana Ross realness.
She really is.
I can't find a picture.
No, Tracy Ellis Ross was probably confused for a second.
She
big
was
mom,
like,
aren't
mom.
You?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't know if it's just that particular hairstyle that's just so Diana Ross
and
all
and
of her glory.
The dress like that, kind of flaring at the bottom. But that was great. And the back and forth between Jennifer Lawrence and
Jodie Foster.
Yeah. How did, I don't want to bring anything, how did
Streep.
You? Yeah.
Streep, she told me.
She's so nice at the luncheon, acting.
Acting. And Jodie Foster's looking at Meryl.
And it was right there. It was real cute.
And it's nice that, it was a nice bit because the host always used to go to Jack Nicholson for the joke. Mm-hmm. And now everybody has, she's the, she's the Taylor Swift of the Oscars. She's
nice.
Just there to cheer
great
you on.
Member.
Yeah, she's a great audience member.
That was fun. And Jodie Foster looked real good.
Yeah.
Like, real good.
And she doesn't look. She doesn't look poked or peeled, or
she doesn't.
She just looks like Jodie Foster at 50 something.
Yeah, yeah. I just thought, well, that's nice.
So that's hopefully you got trashed listening to me say Oscar 700 times, and we're just 362 days away from the next one. So
we're looking forward to it.
Such a short amount of time.
I know. I say next year you just go buy everything, and then. I will come over and make breakfast, and that way I'm there early and on time.
Are we going to start Saturday?
Two things is what she brings. Two things is what she's talking about. Two things, important little things. That is what she's spouting out.
You just need two things.
That means two things.
Let's get two things clear.
And then two things about yourself.
And I've come to share with you one of two things. No, two of two things. We're sharing two things right now.
There are only two things I can't stand in this world.
Quick, grab two things you love.
It can be two things.
Only two things in the world I'm scared of.
Rise of fries and two things.
Remember two things.
I believe in two things.
Guys are only after two things.
What's better, doing two things at once or just one?
Never half-ass two things. Whole ass one thing.
Kat Carlson.
Oh, I.
Oh, you're good.
Hello. Yeah. Hello. Can you hear me now?
Sure.
Can you hear me now?
Hello.
All right, kids. Thing number one, heroin update.
Oh. Laser focused.
Wow.
Okay. Knowing that we are laser focused, I knew that when I saw the heroin headline,
you have to.
We had to.
Had to do it.
Yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is real news. Well, this isn't even sarcastic news. This is real news.
Dateline segment. Like, this is...
Was it's going to be a lot shorter than that, though, because I highlighted, like, six sections. Right.
Was it 10 o'clock. Overdose? Settle down.
Could have been an overdose.
Mm-hmm. Well, you don't know. Officially, according to the CDC, opioid overdoses have jumped 30% this year.
Just since we started the show.
Just since we began our laser focus.
Yeah,
exactly. We're having the wrong effect.
That's
isn't
right.
Isn't that fucking scary?
It is. It's terrifying.
We have an emergency on our hands. Yeah. The fast-moving opioid overdose, which is really hard to say. We should find a new way to say that.
Heroin.
Continues and is accelerating. Mm. Now, the largest regional increase has occurred in the Midwest, which saw a 69% jump in the last year. Most of that jump was driven by Wisconsin. I don't know what's happening in Wisconsin, but 109% increase.
Scott Paul Ryan.
Yeah.
109% increase in overdoses that have been reported. Now, these are just people that make it to the emergency room.
They're very cold.
Just people that make it to the ER.
That's awful, though.
It's every region. It's every demographic. Walk it's adults. It's children. Yeah. It's men. It's women. The government, of course, has declared it an emergency.
Finally.
But here's what they did. They walked outside, stood in front of a microphone, said, it's an emergency, and went back the fuck inside and didn't do anything about it. It's kind of like, and this is the director of the CDC quoted in saying this, it's kind of like pointing at a burning building and saying, oh, there's a fire there. Emergency. Mm-hmm.
And then going to the theater.
And then not calling the fire department and watching it burn down.
Yeah.
God, somebody should do something.
Yeah.
Call your congress people. Mm-hmm. Call some people.
There's no funding for it. It's not getting any attention. They're doing nothing.
Nothing.
And now all they want to do is, they're trying to like fight the pharmaceutical companies. But the pharmaceutical companies have huge lobbies that they've already let, like, write drug laws that are, like, writing laws. So nothing's going to pass there.
There are people in charge of, like, the health department that directly benefit from pharmaceuticals.
Right.
Like, I can't remember what the guy is and what his job is, but there are people at cabinet level in charge of, like, health oversight in the government that literally own companies.
Right. That's all they are in the White House now, is people that make money off of whatever they're in charge of.
Like you said earlier, they're just there to make money.
Like, Jared Kushner, that's all it is.
Well, and Nero says she was just talking about it with her mother, the fact that we get that like it's candy.
Oh, yeah.
And they can't get pain treatment there to save their lives. That's interesting. I wonder what the reason is. Is it a matter that they don't want this kind of crisis? So they have like super low and handing it out?
That's the one thing, is like treating the pain, not just covering up the pain.
Right.
Find out where is the pain coming
like
from.
Like pain management. I couldn't think of stupid. Mm-hmm.
Pain management and like what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Like are you doing the physical therapy? Are you doing the exercises? Or are you just taking so much medicine that you just lay there?
Well, and Nero, do they have like good pain management stuff?
But they're even beyond that. Once they get hooked on it, pain management's...
That's what they're doing because all those drugs are too expensive. So then you go from the fentanyl, you go from that... Opana, the one that we started this whole conversation about, and they go to heroin because now it's cheap because now they're growing poppies everywhere. Right. Like everybody's figured out. Like
you're right.
So I mean, it's
and cheaper.
It's coming from so many different and they can't get pain treatment because the doctors know the risk of opioids. But there's other things that you can.
But wasn't that the big thing with Vietnam? I'm going to sound like an idiot probably, but the
they got a bunch of kids hooked on morphine. Right. Because they were just doping them up to make them be...
And because all the poppies were there.
Yeah.
There was a whole lot of...
Same with Afghanistan. Like, that's what the Taliban was pushing was they were... Afghanistan was the biggest manufacturer of poppies, heroin in the world. And we, like...
Oh, that you know what? That's what it was. It wasn't Vietnam. Forgive me. It was about Afghanistan.
We just opened that door and we're like, and here you go.
Yeah.
They were having a hard time. And all of a sudden, they started using heroin trafficking to pay for the Taliban.
Right. And then people came back because that's what they were using.
Kat, continue on, please.
Speaking of the Taliban.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That was a segue made in heaven.
Yeah. Thing number two. No, it's not really.
Okay, bad then. My bad. Mm-hmm.
Although it did kind of feel like we were being invaded by the Taliban a little bit, because apparently RuPaul made some dumb remarks, and it blew up my social media.
I saw that story feed. Too.
I haven't seen this.
Oh my God, it was freaking, I think it was yesterday. Okay. So RuPaul did an interview and with The Guardian and made comments about transgender people. Mm. And you know what I mean? Like, it seems to me that it's always been kind of known that Rue is not super educated and on board with the trans movement.
Okay.
Right? You know what I mean? There have been some contestants that have come through her show, and there were two that came out as trans, like, on the show.
Okay.
And I honestly, it didn't like.
Well, I'm honestly still upset about the she-male thing with regards to. Because in the show, there's a segment when the contestants get a message via a video, and the first seasons, it was you got a she-mail, and it was like instead of email, she like there was a play on words, and then somebody lost their fucking mind over it and they changed it, and it just ruined all of the fun for it. But continue on.
Yeah, well, you know, RuPaul's been often accused of being really.
Whoops, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Being really tone deaf, as far as trans people are concerned, and said in this interview. Was talking about how he doesn't think that trans women should be able to compete in Drag Race.
Okay.
And then made a really, really like tone deaf tweet that said something about, you know, you can take performance enhancing drugs and still be an athlete, just not at the Olympics. Kind of being like a little bit shitty, like, you take all your hormones, but you can't come play at my show.
Yeah. Okay.
Madness. So then my social media, like, apparently there's a whole bunch of, you know, RuPaul and. Right. And, you know, trans woke people on my newsfeed, because then, like, rants upon rants upon rants. I know.
Sure.
I know. Sure. So then, the next day, on the Twitter, of course, RuPaul posts kind of an apology and says, you know, each morning I pray to set aside everything I think I know so that I may have an open mind and a new experience. I understand and regret the hurt that I have caused the trans community. The trans community are heroes of our shared LGBTQ movement, and you are my teachers. And a second tweet added that in 10 years, we've been casting Drag Race. The only thing we've ever screened for is charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent, and that will never change.
Okay.
So I think they're not going to do like any kind of testing.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a whole to-do that blew up my Facebook. Like, it was literally the only thing that I could find.
I didn't see anything about it.
That's so crazy that you didn't.
I didn't at all. But I just looked it up.
My algorithm is fucked up.
But it went right to... I was on... it's made EW's front page, because they... Entertainment Weekly's been doing... RuPaul's Drag Race has become their new Lost Arrested Development. Like, they're hooked on the show. They quote it all the time. But I think we talked about this with you judging the pageant last week, when they come out in their suits and give their interview as a boy. Well, if they have breast implants, how do they? Why do you make them dress? You know,
right? The male interview.
And why do you? Why do
but
they,
now it depends on which pageant system you're part of. Right, the America pageant does not permit augmentation below the neck. You can have whatever the hell you want done to your face, but you can't have anything augmented.
Right, and
the other systems let you do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah. So I mean, you're just you're in that strange place. Like, what are like? And I don't watch Drag Race, so I don't really know. Like how? Like I wouldn't assume that they couldn't be further along in the process. Mm-hmm. Like, is it just because now we know there's a difference between drag queens and people going to be transgender? Like.
Right.
Like, where are we on the spectrum? Like, I just, there's just a lot of it I don't get anymore. Like, I'm kind of like so removed from it that and there's sometimes like reading that I'd be like, well, I don't know. Like, are they allowed to be? Are you allowed to have? Well, can Laverne Cox compete on Drag Race? Because she, you had the clip actually, in your Show Tunes night. You had them at Radio City doing lip sync battle.
Oh, sure.
And the worst lip syncer of the three that were on stage was Laverne Cox. And I'm like, well, she never ever had to work as a drag queen. Like,
right.
Because
right.
she didn't know the words of anything she was doing. Like, there she was terrible
lot of
at
drag
it.
There are queens that don't. But what story? I did that story 2 weeks ago or whatever about the wrestler in Texas.
Right.
Right? That is starting to take the hormones and is starting with the steroids and the whole thing. And so in the process.
Right.
But where in the process, like you're saying.
Right. And I just think, like, just like the heroin epidemic, like, we're all learning together about this, the T letter of this thing that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's so different.
Like, I'm sure it's unpopular, but I believe that Drag Race should be, you are anatomically 100% a boy, because the whole thing with drag is that you are a boy creating an illusion of a woman. If you've already started on that trail and you are, I don't think you should be part of it. I don't agree with that.
Well,
no, I mean that seems like kind of a fair thing to say.
Completely agree.
It's like
you.
If you're going to if you're going to a car race and you show up and like, well, I like to race, but I have a truck. No, it's a car race.
Yeah, I mean, I
it's already
that.
Set. Right.
But then I don't know what this community feels like. Like, what, like, where are they all landing, and how do you decide?
Right, but there are a lot of things that we can feel. Like, we feel it should maybe be this way. But if there have been kind of established, if people come into it, whether it's Drag Race or whatever it is, if there is a way to have the rules be the rules. Like, do you change, like, if you're going to change them, go through whatever body of, we're going to, no pun intended, but we're going to change this, and now here, from here on, because this is now in our consciousness, from here on, right?
At this point in the process, you will now compete as...
Yeah,
but then then you're going to have people that don't believe in the binary system. So then who do they compete with?
They have a different pageant.
Saying, like, in competitions and stuff like that, like,
well, because like with this person who
anything further on that, and we'll just become insensitive.
No, because I'm certainly not. This is not meant as an insensitive to be insensitive.
Right.
It's the person who is wrestling as a female. In Texas, and because the rules state, that's what he has to do.
Oh, right. Yeah. No, I get right.
There is nothing about that makes sense.
There is, but I'm just saying that, like, once. So now we go down. Now we do that, and we're like, okay, at this
point, it's not fair to either side.
Yeah. But then you're like, then we. I don't know. There's just so many. There's so many like.
Right, because you don't.
You can't play sports or professional drag. Yeah. I don't know.
You know, decide before you get there.
Yeah,
no, that's
God,
not.
People
it.
Wonder why I don't want to open a bar. Jesus Christ!
Right. and you know, you if you can't, and then what are we going to do? Just have the and forgive me for this, but like the in betweens. And I'm not saying that as a horrible label.
Right.
I'm saying they're in between, in their transition. So what? Then they would have to have a certain section for sports, right? Or for different competitions,
right? Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I mean, that's ridiculous. And now I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's
difficult. It's difficult.
It just makes everything about that life. That much harder.
Oh, this makes you want to stay home and ignore everybody.
Pick up a hammer and nail this coffin shut.
Agreed.
Well, that turned into thoughtful vulgarity, like, too.
Good
so
job.
Well played.
Was that was your second story, right?
That was my second story.
Oh, my God. We've made it through that.
The end.
Gosh.
I don't know. You know, gender segregated sports have always driven me insane.
Okay.
There are very few sports that I really see that really have to be gender segregated.
Sure.
You know what I mean? You could have wrestling events that are divided by weight class. You can have other sporting events that are just divided by, you know, ability or size or whatever.
Sure.
You know what I mean? You can have different benchmarks that aren't just gender for sports. You know, and I was somebody that played a lot of co-ed sports and ended up the only female on the team a whole lot of times.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with that. I get it.
You know, so I just, like, gender segregation of sports drives me bananas because I can't, unless we're operating on, you know, inferior versus superior, which is how that started. Well, we'll let the girls have sports now because I guess we have to.
Well, and we don't want them to get hurt.
Right. Oh, those girls are fragile. Mm-hmm. We don't want to hurt them.
I just, and from, like, I don't think anybody should be playing football at this point. Like, it's just so...
Sure.
It causes brain damage.
Football is awful, and
so those,
there should not be women in their right mind that want to play that
sport. Right, because, I mean, those running backs are small compared to the, the tackles and stuff like that. So you've got somebody who's like 5'8", 5'9", and a real lean 180 getting plowed over by a 300-pound refrigerator.
You want to win some football games, though. Get yourself a lady quarterback.
Oh, God.
I want to talk about people that can think fast and make decisions. Go get yourself a lady quarterback. You're going to win some fucking football
games. But
then
again, that tackle comes up and knocks you into next week. Like, you know, some of those...
Yeah.
Oh. Well, those sacks are brutal. Mm-hmm.
They are. They are. And it doesn't matter how easy, you know, they... But when I say easy, like, you can't do this and you can't hit here and you can't...
But you can't control everything when you're flying across
the
field. Like
300 pounds of flying through the air. No.
The flying refrigerator.
Yeah. Right?
Flying refrigerator. Yeah.
Let me introduce you to some women that play tackle football that I know. They'll be fine.
Yeah. I've seen, and I've watched some of those games, and jumping fucking
Good
Jesus.
God.
I do not.
Oh, right. Or seeing Brittany. I told you I saw Brittany Grimes a couple weeks ago at
Griner
at a restaurant, and I'm like, she can compete with anybody. Like, she doesn't need to be gendered out for any reason.
Nope. Not even kind of.
You could just have five foot basketball and seven foot basketball.
Right, right.
It would be wonderful.
That's great.
Break it up by height. There you go.
I like it.
Oh my gosh. Well, Alfie, I'll tell you, have a great trip in the in the Italy's. Send pictures, post pictures.
Bon voyage.
Yes, I will. The next time you see pictures of me, I will be eating pasta.
Ah, very nice.
Maybe or wine. Or veal, I don't know.
So it's all weird, like things that you wouldn't have here.
Right. I've never exotic foods I've never eaten before.
Exactly.
Basically, you could have gone to Olive Garden.
Yeah.
Once again, we're off for 2 weeks.
Your family.
We're off for 2 weeks, and then we'll be back. We're doing a little spring break thing. Thank you to everybody in the chat room. Oh, my gosh. I'll be over this cough, I'm sure, by the time we get back. That'll be nice. I can laugh again. It won't hurt.
Yes, I hope you feel better.
I will get there. Allergy season's coming, people. Be ready.
As we wrap up tonight's show, let's leave you with this parting thought. We will
see you next Tuesday.
Bye, guys.
Pick up a hammer and nail this coffin shut.